Thank you very much for your fellowship with me. It was really a delight to interact with a number of you this morning. And I do sincerely thank you not only for your fellowship, but for your prayers for us at Trinity and for the work of our missionaries as well. Before we come to the word tonight, let's again seek God and ask for his blessing upon this time. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping you, and we pray that as we hear your word this evening, we would continue to worship you from our hearts, especially as we behold the Lord Jesus Christ in the pages of Scripture. Lord, give us all eyes to see him, spiritual eyes to see him, hearts that run out after him in love. We cry out unto you and ask that you would work in each one of our hearts this very night as your word is proclaimed. We ask for these mercies and blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and I will read verses 40 to 42. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there comes to him, the Lord Jesus, there comes to him a leper, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If you will, you can make me clean. And being moved with compassion, he stretched forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou made clean. And immediately, or straightway, the leprosy departed from him, and he was made clean. And there we stop our reading of God's word. So I'd like you to see from this passage three main headings: the leper, the Lord, and the liberation. So the leper, the Lord, and the liberation. So first of all, the leper. Let's consider his condition before the Lord. This unnamed man was a leper, and in the Old Testament, leprosy referred to a variety of infectious skin diseases, both serious as well as superficial. It also referred to matters such as mold and mildew on clothing and walls. The word leprosy and its related terms occurs 55 times in the Old Testament and 13 times in the New Testament. We now know that leprosy, the leprosy which affects people, is caused by a bacterium which attacks the nervous system of the body. Symptoms are first manifested, whether back then with this account or today, symptoms are first manifested in the skin and peripheral nervous system, and then the symptoms spread to other parts of the body, such as the hands, the feet, and the face. People with leprosy in the days of the Lord Jesus and to this very day experience disfigurement of the skin, bones, and the face, the collapsing of the nose structure, the twisting of the limbs, the curling of the fingers to form what is called a characteristic claw hand of a leper. Their fingers basically end up being destroyed, and they have just a claw of a hand. Tumor-like growths called lepromas may form on the skin and in the respiratory tract, the lungs. The optic nerves of the eyes are often affected by leprosy, and they deteriorate so that the leper often became blind. As nerves are damaged, a loss of pain sensation occurs throughout the body. And as a result, there are further deformities which develop in the body of the leper. because they end up doing things and they don't feel what they are doing. They may step on a very sharp object which pierces the foot, and because they do not have nerves there to sense the pain, they don't know that that has happened, and they continue on. And so they often have extensive damage in other parts of the body. And the damaged flesh of the leper leads to infections. Infections, again, which are not usually sensed by the leper, and therefore they're not healed. And consequently, the flesh of the leper decays. It rots. It putrefies. And it smells very badly. Leprosy itself does not kill an individual. And we can be thankful for that reality. However, as it progresses, the leper often despairs as one whose body continues to degenerate and deform over the course of years. And they are abhorred and shunned by people, including loved ones. And the leper merely exists as one who is like the walking dead. They're like somebody who is alive and yet dead. Leprosy is spread by multiple skin contacts with other individuals, as well as droplets from the upper respiratory tracts, such as nasal secretions transmitted from person to person, a leper to an unaffected person. So consequently, lepers were physically isolated from others in order to prevent the spread of leprosy. If you turn to Leviticus 13 and verse 45, we see that God gave clear direction to lepers regarding where they were to live and how they were to announce their approach to anyone who was not a leper. In Leviticus 13 and verse 45, we read the following. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall go loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague is in him, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his dwelling be. And there we stop the reading of that passage. So the disease of leprosy thus made any individual in Israel in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, it made any individual a social outcast. It made that individual a religious outcast as well, preventing the leper from participating in any family worship, in any synagogue worship, and in temple worship in Jerusalem. The leper was excluded from participation in any of the Jewish feasts, such as Passover. So in summary, every aspect of the leper's life, if you could call it a life, his spiritual, his intellectual, his emotional, his social, his physical life, every aspect of the leper's life was negatively and pervasively impacted by this dread disease of leprosy. So that's the condition of the leper. But notice, secondly, not just his condition, but his coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in the Mark passage, Mark 1, 40 and following. Notwithstanding these realities of his walking death, which could immediately be seen by all, as well as the requirements of Leviticus 13, this specific unnamed leper sought the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not told how he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, but in Mark's gospel, Mark makes it very plain that the reports about Jesus and his ability to perform miracles, his power, his goodness, his kindness, they spread quickly throughout the region, far and wide. So notice that the leper in his coming, notice, first of all, he comes beseeching the Lord Jesus. That's the word that my English translation uses. He came beseeching the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not told whether he called out unclean, unclean with his finger on his upper lip, as Leviticus 13 commanded. Presumably, he did do that, but we're not told whether he did that or not. But we are told that he came to the Lord imploring, begging. And that's what the word in the original language means. This was not just a simple request, can you please help me? He came and he was begging the Lord for mercy. He was imploring from his very soul for mercy. He was beseeching. It was not the casual request of someone asking, well, what's the weather like tomorrow? Or someone asking for directions. No, this leper came with an earnest, heartfelt, and desperate pleading for help from the Lord Jesus. But notice, not only does he come beseeching the Lord, the leper comes kneeling before the Lord. The leper did not come strolling up to the Lord Jesus Christ in a very casual sort of way, eye to eye before the Lord. No, once in the presence of the Lord Jesus, or perhaps even some distance from the Lord, we don't know for sure, the leper fell down upon his knees, and kneeling down to the Lord Jesus, he began to beg the Lord for help. You see, this leper, he understood enough about the Lord Jesus Christ from whatever he had heard about him. He understood that the posture of his body in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a matter of insignificance. It was not a matter of indifference. He knew enough already that he was someone unusual. Obviously, he was coming for help, coming for healing. He'd heard about his power, his miracles, you see. He knew he was not just an ordinary Galilean Jew. So he knew that his posture mattered. So he humbled himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. He had nothing to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had nothing of which to boast. He had nothing to show the Lord Jesus Christ except for his leprous body and his ragged clothing. He had nothing to give, nothing of which to boast. He was a needy, helpless beggar. That's what he was. So notice not only his beseeching and kneeling, notice thirdly, the leper comes speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now surely, because of his physical appearance as a leper, the leper did not really need to speak to the Lord and tell him what his problem was. I mean, the Lord Jesus could see it. And assuming he came yelling out, unclean, unclean, the Lord would have heard that. It was plain as the noonday sun what his problem was. But nevertheless, the leper communicates and lays out his desire to the Lord Jesus Christ with very few direct and plain words. So just as an aside, the Lord Jesus Christ knows each one of you 100%. He knows you and me perfectly. You may think you can hide some things from the Lord, but that's not true. You may hide realities of your own sinful heart from others around you, even loved ones, but you cannot hide anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is terrifying, and yet that is comforting. And if you're a Christian, it really is comforting. It makes you full of awe that the Lord does know everything. So this leper, you see, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he communicates with very few and direct and plain words. Now notice from the passage, the leper actually did not explicitly make a request of the Lord Jesus. When you read it, you can say, well, he asked him. He doesn't actually explicitly make a request. He simply stated a fact that he believed that the Lord was able to cleanse him of his leprosy. He literally stated in the original Greek, he literally stated, speaking to the Lord Jesus on his knees, you are able me to cleanse. Very few words. He's not asking, he's just stating a fact, you see. There was no doubt in the mind of the leper that the Lord Jesus could indeed cleanse him thoroughly. Now, it's also worth noting that immediately before stating his confidence in the Lord's ability to cleanse him, the leper, you can see in the passage, he stated, if you will, if you will. With this simple statement, did the leper question the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse him of his leprosy? Is that what he was stating? Was he wondering, was the Lord willing to cleanse him? Or was this an acknowledgement by the leper that the Lord was not under any obligation to cleanse him? That the Lord Jesus Christ, before whom he knelt, was the sovereign who could do as he pleased. That the Lord could choose not to cleanse him, and the leper would have no justifiable complaint. For such cleansing and such deliverance from leprosy was not owed to the leper. Perhaps, we don't know this from the passage, but perhaps this leper, this Jewish leper, perhaps he remembered from the scriptures the situation in the days of Elisha, the prophet, which the Lord Jesus actually refers to later in his public ministry, not here in Mark 1, but later on, where the Lord Jesus made this statement. There were many lepers in Israel in the times of Elisha the prophet. There were many, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. It's possible that this leper, he knew his scriptures, it's possible, and he may have recalled that, realizing that the Lord Jesus did not owe him anything. And therefore, you see, he said, if you will, you can make me clean. It's not so much he doubted the Lord's willingness in one sense, it's that it wasn't owed to him. And so he stated, if you will. So that is the leper. But now, secondly, let's consider the Lord in this passage. Notice from verse 41, the Lord's disposition toward this leper. Verse 41, and being moved with compassion. In the original Greek, the meaning is that Jesus yearned from his bowels, from his intestines, from his stomach, from his gut. He yearned with sympathy and pity and compassion for this leprous man. This man in his tragic condition, in his desperate need. This man with his simple, artless words of petition stirred the holy emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ in the deepest recesses of his being. This was truly indeed a gut-wrenching scene before the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, before his very mind. And it actually did indeed stir him in his deep heart and soul. You see, the Lord Jesus was not a clinician. He was not a doctor with a white lab coat in a laboratory looking at a specimen of something. He was not detached. He was not aloof. He was not cold. He was not that way at all. And frankly, that should cause your heart to rejoice. It causes my heart to rejoice that when the Lord looks upon me and he looks upon you and all of your sin of leprosy, he's not cold-hearted. He's not aloof. He's not detached. He's not disinterested. He's not up in glory in heaven just twiddling his thumbs, as it were. I don't mean that irreverently. He's not up there just, oh, okay, what's going on down on earth? What he was on this occasion is what he still is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we need to grasp this. He was indeed moved with compassion. And as a side note, you as a Christian, I as a Christian, when we see what sin has done in people's lives, we should not be cold and detached. We should be stirred and moved as Christians when we see what sin has done to people's hearts and lives. We should be like Christ. But notice, secondly, from verse 41, not only the Lord's disposition toward this leper, but his actions upon the leper. Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus stretched out his hand and touched this leper. This touch was not a quick, light touch. Wasn't that? It was not a superficial touch. The meaning of the original word is that the Lord stretched forth his hand and attached his hand to the leper. Perhaps laying his hand upon the leper's head as he was kneeling before the Lord. This was, of course, something that no one dared to do or wanted to do with a leper. For to do so, you could not only contract the leprosy, but it immediately made a Jew ceremonially unclean and removed that Jew who touched the leper from the privileges of worship in society for a time. But the Lord, you see, was not thinking of himself. I mean, isn't that amazing? The Son of God, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't thinking of himself. He did not live for himself. He did not come and serve himself. He was thinking of this leper in all of his helplessness and tragedy and all of his need. And he then lays his hand upon him. He attaches his hand to him. And by miraculously cleansing the leper, the Lord was declaring to the world around him that he was the promised Messiah who fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah, even as Jesus declared on another occasion in the gospel records, Matthew 11, Jesus answered and said unto them, the disciples of John the Baptist, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. You see, these actions of the Lord Jesus Christ visually proclaimed to all who were around him that he was willing to be identified with sinners in all of their filth and need and helplessness. And it visually proclaimed to everyone that he was the one who could and would take away not only their diseases, like leprosy, but all of their iniquities. So those were his actions upon the leper. But now look at verse 41 again, a third time. Notice, thirdly, the Lord's words to the leper. The Lord Jesus now spoke as succinctly to the leper as the leper had done to him. With divine authority, the Lord announced, "I will be thou made clean." Very simple, very clear. And with his words, the Lord removed any and all doubts in the mind of the leper. He removed any and all concerns in the heart of the leper. He removed any and all fears that the leper might have had. With his words, the Lord proclaimed the reality of his sovereign grace. This was grace, undeserved favor, undeserved mercy shown to this needy, helpless, undeserving sinner, a leper. And so with his words, the Lord proclaimed the reality of his sovereign grace and his sovereign power, which he freely poured out upon this particular man. So that's the Lord. But now in the passage, let's consider thirdly the liberation. Notice from verse 42, it was immediate. This was not the kind of healing that so-called healers in our day say they do, where they heal somebody, but they're really not healed. And they say, well, in a month, maybe you will be healed or whatever. No, this was immediate. In my English translation, it uses the word straightway. Straightway, the leprosy departed from him. The leper did not wait 1 millisecond for healing, for deliverance, for transformation. The Almighty Creator, remember that's who Jesus is. He's the Creator and the Mighty Redeemer. He spoke. He originally spoke and created the world, the universe, out of nothing. This was not a hard thing for the Lord Jesus to do. It did not sap him of any energy or of any strength whatsoever. The Almighty Creator, the Almighty Redeemer, he spoke, and liberation from leprosy and all of its effects and consequences was instantaneous. It was immediate. But notice from verse 42, it was also complete. His liberation from leprosy was not only immediate, it was complete. Mark tells us very simply, almost as though it were an afterthought. It really is interesting if you read it. It's almost as though Mark was just saying, oh yeah, and by the way, he was made clean. It's almost like an afterthought on Mark's part. Now, no doubt the leper's clothing needed to be changed. No doubt he needed to be bathed. But if you had examined him on that occasion, if you had examined his body from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, you would not have found one deformity anymore. You would not have found one abnormal growth anymore. You would not have found one lesion anywhere on his skin, anywhere on his body. You would not have seen a claw hand anymore. It would have been a full, complete, normal, healthy, pink hand. No longer was there any smell of decaying flesh, because there's no longer any decaying flesh. Instead, kneeling before the Lord Jesus Christ was a transformed man with skin, face, limbs, hands, eyes, coloring, hair, as healthy as a man who had never contracted any sickness whatsoever from any disease whatsoever. J.C. Ryle, commenting on this healing of this leper, wrote this: "The morning sun rose upon him, a miserable being, more dead than alive. His whole frame, a mass of sores and corruption, his very existence a burden. The evening sun saw him full of hope and joy, free from pain, and fit for the society of his fellow men. Surely," Ryle writes, "the change must have been like life from the dead." And indeed, this is a small picture of that reality of resurrection. It is, for this leper, it was like life from the dead. He was the walking dead before, and now he's alive and healthy. It was a vivid picture of what would happen in the day of resurrection for the Lord Jesus. So, brethren, we see the leper, the Lord, and the liberation. But now some lessons from this historical passage. Some lessons. And the first is this. In the Bible, leprosy is a sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. It is a sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. Like leprosy, sin manifests itself initially in relatively small ways. But like leprosy, sin spreads, leading to other sins. So leprosy is a picture of sin. Starts off small, but spreads. More leprosy. Sin starts off small, as it were, and spreads. Of course, that's figuratively speaking. Everyone is born into this world as a sinner. No one is born spiritually alive. We're all born spiritually dead. But if you look at a young child compared to a 65-year-old man who's not a Christian, you can see some degree of what we call innocence with a young child. They're a sinner. Doesn't take much to see that they're a sinner. Watch them play with another child. The other child takes the toy away. Mine! You see the reality of sin. But the 65-year-old non-Christian who's lived a life of sin, physically in every way, is far more ugly. Sin, like leprosy, spreads. Like leprosy, sin is ugly. If you see it correctly with the eyes of faith, with the eyes of Scripture, like leprosy, sin is ugly, loathsome, incurable, humanly speaking, and contaminating. And if you do not see your sin as ugly and loathsome, if you do not see it as something awful like leprosy, then you are not spiritually in a healthy state. You're either unconverted, spiritually dead, or you are backslidden. Because every Christian sees that their sin is like leprosy. And like leprosy, sin, we need to understand this, sin causes damage in our own life, and it causes damage in the lives of others. Sin, like leprosy, disrupts our relationships with other people. Sin, like leprosy, separates and isolates us from others, and ultimately sin separates us and isolates us from God. According to Leviticus 13, the garments which clothed a leper were only fit to be burned in fire. And those who die clothed in their sins and not in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, they too will be burned with their filthy garments, but not in an earthly fire, but in an unquenchable fire in a place called hell. And I don't say that to try to sound dramatic. That's the truth. And yet, there are differences between lepers and lost sinners. What I've just spoken is there are similarities between leprosy and sin, but there are differences between lepers and lost sinners. All lepers long to be rid of their leprosy. If you had 20 lepers here, or 50 lepers, or 100 lepers, and if you went through every single one and asked them individually, do you want to be rid of your leprosy? Do you want to be rid of your leprosy? Do you want to be rid of your leprosy? You go through all 100. Every single one will say, I want to be rid of my leprosy. That's what they desire. Their leprosy is a grief and a burden. But lost sinners who are not at all spiritually awakened earnestly cling to their filthy sins. Their sins are a delight to them and no problem. You see how different the lost sinner, unawakened by the work of the Holy Spirit, is from a leper. All lepers do not want to die as lepers, but lost sinners don't care. They don't even think about death, or if they do, they just think, well, either I vanish into nothingness, or I'll probably go to heaven anyway because I've actually been pretty good to many people in my life. They have no conscious awareness of how they have violated the holy law of God in countless ways and offended God, their creator and sustainer. So they don't care if they die as sinners. But lepers, they did not want to die as lepers. So you see, these differences, they simply underscore that although leprosy is a vivid, graphic, physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin, leprosy still falls far short of the reality of the evil of sin. Sin in itself is evil. It is only evil. And it is always an offense against God. So in the Bible, leprosy is a sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. There are some similarities, some differences. But a second lesson is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious and almighty Savior of sinners. In the instantaneous healing of this leper, we must understand. I want you to understand in a fresh way, or maybe for the first time, that nothing is too hard for the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ. With Christ, nothing is impossible. In the instantaneous healing of this leper, we must also understand that the Lord Jesus Christ delights to be gracious to helpless sinners, to hopeless sinners, to undeserving sinners. You see, we're to see this in the way he dealt with this leper. You as a Christian here tonight, you're to see this, that my Savior, this is what he is really like. He is truly gracious to helpless, hopeless, needy, undeserving sinners just like me. And if you're not a Christian, you're needy, you need to see that reality as well. The Lord is able to deliver from the malady of every sin, which is always far greater than the malady of leprosy or cancer or COVID. No sin is so deeply rooted in the heart of any sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot forgive and pardon and cleanse and deliver you from it. And if you have been a Christian for more than a few years, you are sadly conscious of the fact that there's remaining sin in you. And some of those remaining sins are so deeply rooted. And you wonder, you pray, Lord, will I ever be rid of this besetting sin? Yes, you will. It may happen on this earth before you die and go to glory, but it certainly will happen when you die and go to glory. But the point is no sin is so deeply rooted in your heart and life that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot pardon it, cleanse it, and deliver you from it. But then you might say as a Christian, well, then why do I still have this struggle with this specific besetting sin? Well, God is very wise. Indeed, he is perfectly wise. Sometimes I believe, studying my Bible, looking at my own heart, being a pastor, God in Christ sometimes doesn't so quickly deliver you. You are a Christian. You are delivered from your sins ultimately in the courtroom of heaven. You will be delivered from all of them in the day of death, the day of judgment, no problem, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But now here on earth, the reality of remaining sin, the Lord is able to remove that deeply rooted remaining sin. But sometimes he permits it to continue to deal with other sins, like pride, arrogance, pride, or unbelief. Because pride is a very evil sin. All sin is evil, as I've already said. But sometimes I think we think wrongly. Well, you know, that person who is a drug addict or that person who is an adulterer, that's really wicked. And it is really wicked. I'm not downplaying it. But we don't think that our pride is so wicked. It's very wicked. So the Lord sometimes permits sins to remain for a season to humble us and make us more dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, what I'm saying here from this healing of this leper is totally true. No sin is so deeply rooted in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot pardon, cleanse, and deliver. The worst of sinful spiritual lepers can be cleansed. I would like you to turn now to 1 Corinthians 6. Beginning at verse 9. Before we read it, when I was a brand new Christian and I read 1 Corinthians, I said to the friend who had witnessed to me, his name was Ken, when I read it, I said to him, I said, Ken, I can't believe this is in the Bible. These people are Christians? The longer I've been a Christian, the more I love 1 and 2 Corinthians. The realism of 1 and 2 Corinthians. That's not at all to commend or excuse the sins of the believers in Corinth. But in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 9, note what Paul wrote to them. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So when you read those words from 1 Corinthians 6, and you think of what Jesus did for this leper in Mark chapter 1, my point to you is this: the worst of sinful spiritual lepers can be cleansed and forgiven, even as they were in Corinth, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning blood shed on the cross when he died on that cross outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And so I ask you here this very night, are you sitting here in these pews, sitting up there, sitting downstairs? Are you personally believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you personally holding on to him as your only hope for time and eternity, for the forgiveness of all your wretched sins? That's what you need to be doing, and you can indeed be forgiven and cleansed in the blood of Christ. And like this leper, you can know a new life before you. But a third lesson from the Mark 1 passage with the leper: you must follow the leper's example. Maybe that's already apparent. But like this leper in Mark 1, you must see the truth about yourself spiritually. You see, the leper saw the truth about himself physically. He didn't try to deny the reality of his leprosy. He faced the truth, the sobering truth, the hard truth, that he was a helpless leper. And if you are going to benefit from Jesus Christ's salvation, you must see the truth about yourself spiritually. The leper, as I've already said, he didn't boast about what a wonderful human being he was. He didn't come into Jesus' presence, kneel down, and say, "Let me first tell you about some things I did before I was a leper. I gave money to this organization. I helped over here. I worked in a soup kitchen in Jerusalem. I did this and that." He didn't talk about his past. He didn't talk about what he had done. He wasn't thinking about what he had done. He embraced the humbling truth about his helpless condition. And that's what you must do as a Christian. You start off that way as a Christian. The first time you came to Jesus Christ as a new believer, you came like this leper, not looking at yourself, but looking away from yourself to Jesus Christ by faith. And you must continue to do that as a Christian every single day, turning away from your sins that are there in your heart and life, confessing them to God through Jesus Christ, still holding on to Jesus Christ. You still have nothing to bring, like we sing in one of the hymns. "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." You may be the holiest Christian in this congregation by the grace of God, but you're still a sinner. And you come with nothing in your hands. You come foul. You come like this leper, not looking at yourself, but looking away to Jesus Christ by faith. And you see, therefore, you must come just as you are. This leper, when he heard about Jesus Christ and his power to cleanse, his power to heal, his power to deliver people from disease, whatever he had heard, notice what he didn't do. He didn't first go to the river and wash himself. He didn't go and buy a new set of clothing and change his clothing. He didn't go and clean his hair. He didn't go to the local market and buy cologne and spray it on himself. He came to Jesus Christ just as he was: filthy, dirty, helpless, hopeless, undeserving, smelly, deformed. That's how he came to Jesus Christ. And that's how every single one of us must always come to Jesus Christ. You shouldn't wait till you first get rid of this problem in your life. First, really deal with that sin problem in your relationship with your husband or your wife. You come with your sins directly to Jesus Christ, just like this leper did, to receive free, instantaneous, complete forgiveness for your sins. You confess to him through Jesus Christ, to God. You receive free, instantaneous, complete, cleansing forgiveness for all of your sins. Now you might say, That sounds like that would be kind of dangerous. It would encourage people to just live however they want to live. No, that's the gospel. The gospel is sinners are to go straight to Jesus Christ with all their sins. Not first fix themselves up, but go straight to Jesus Christ, confessing all your sins. Yes, in your heart of hearts, in your mind, in your life, wanting to be rid of them all. But you don't wait till you're rid of your sins to come. You come to Jesus Christ with your sins. That's the gospel. And if you are believing the gospel and coming to Jesus Christ, you will not want to live an unholy life. You will not say, well, it doesn't matter how I live. I could just always go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. You won't be thinking that way if you're thinking biblically and correctly. If you really understand how awful your sins are. But the gospel is, go to Jesus Christ with all of your sin and all of your guilt, just as you are. Don't wait. Don't clean yourself up first. Confess your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for mercy. Turn away from your sins. Hold on to Jesus Christ. It's another hymn we sing. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. You see, we bring nothing in our hands. We come to Jesus Christ. This is what we can learn from this leper this night. May God help us all to follow his good example of going to Jesus Christ and holding on to Jesus Christ. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we do pray that you would forgive us for our sins and forgive us for those times when we think we have something to bring from ourselves. Lord, we come to you as those who need your forgiveness, your cleansing, your salvation. And we ask that you would cause us to know the realities of your grace, the realities of your mercy and faithfulness, the realities of your love, and that we would all the more hate our sins with a holy hatred, and that you would even this very night work in the hearts of some who are not yet Christians, that you would come and sovereignly remove hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh and save sinners in our very midst. Lord, give to your people deeper love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would do this work in our hearts this very night. Receive our thanksgiving and our petitions as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.